12:20 is the time, and that means it's time to eat. Welcome into Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. The All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. And this week, we focus in on all things seafood. So I'm over at formerly Modern Tuxedo over on Clyburn Avenue, 2112 North Clyburn, to be exact. Formerly Modern Tuxedo. I love their tuxes. I have my own tuxedo, but I like to change it up sometimes when I'm hosting events, like I was last night for the Alzheimer's Association. And, you know, I have to wear a tux to different occasions fairly often, so I don't want to wear the same tuxedo all the time. And I also don't want to own five or six different tuxedos. So I go over to the Formerly Modern, and they set me up with some really cool styles. They set me up with this beautiful velvet tuxedo jacket last night that was just absolutely amazing. So I'm there getting things all set. Who walks in to Formerly Modern Tuxedo but my old pal Dirk Fusick, whose store, Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop, is just a few stores away in the same strip mall, I guess you might say. His longtime fish shop is right there, and he's coming in, and it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen him in a long time, certainly since before the pandemic. He's been on the show, but I think on the phone since then, but I haven't seen him in a long time. And Dirk, it was just what a nice surprise to see you, and even bigger surprise to see that you've expanded your shop. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I appreciate it. I'm good. It was nice to see you. It was a pleasant surprise there, you know, in the tuxedo place. So, yeah, Formerly Modern's a great guy. There's great guys over there. So, we guys got to
absolutely
take care of
it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely great guys over there. So,
yeah, we spent about a year trying to get this stupid store together. And we finally, in January, we finally got it all done. So, it was a summer and fall of kind of stress and aggravation. But in the end, it came out good. And the store looks nice. You saw it.
It's absolutely beautiful. You know, the store was spacious before, but it was like one store.
It was tiny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I never felt cramped, but I'm sure you, as the owner, you know, always wanted to do more, sell more, display more. So I'm sure that you felt cramped. But now, how many stores did you take over? One or two more?
The last piece of Panera that used to be there. So we basically doubled our stores, about 2,000 square feet. So now we're at about 4,000 square feet. So it gives us more room in the back for the guys and just more space for us to work. And then out front, a lot more space for the customers. And then also room for more products. So we're trying to do a lot more carryout stuff and ready-to-go things, sushi and things of that sort. So everybody seemed to have liked it so far.
Yeah.
So,
well, you have, you know, you have your area where you're selling all the seafood. I was talking about the incredible halibut.
How was it?
That I bought. Oh, it was fantastic. So flavorful.
Right.
So amazing. Yeah. I baked it with some garlic and onion and, you know, just, you know, had some broccoli with it and lemon on top of it. Really, really delicious. But
that's
so,
the beauty of hell, you can do anything with it. So
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty hard to mess it up. So you've got that area. The new areas that you've got, describe like some of the new areas that you've got.
Well, we have a formal lunch and the sushi making area, which we didn't really have before, so we're much better set up for, you know, cranking out more lunches and sushis. We have a couple of vegetable coolers. We're kind of making a one-stop shop. You know, I kind of miss Treasure Island that used to be across the street because you go over there and pick up odds and ends. But so we're not their size, obviously, but we're kind of emulate the fact that you can come in there and pick up, you know, an appetizer, some fish for dinner, vegetables. We have a great bakery. La Boulangerie makes our bread. They're making our lobster rolls for us now, you know, specifically, which is awesome. We sell a killer lobster roll. I mean, they're expensive, $25 a piece, but they're fresh cooked every morning from the tank we got over there, so they're pretty good. And then we also have room for, you know, people to sit down and eat comfortably, a couple tables there and more selections. We got some new vendors. Skokie Provisions has been a really good vendor for us. We're going to start doing classes in June at night at the end of, you know, after work. We do them two, three times a month. Probably grilling classes this time of year on the Green Egg out front.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you still doing your cooking there on Saturdays? I think you're outside.
Every Saturday,
cooking,
12 to 2. We'll feed you lunch. Come by.
yeah. It's great. I mean, the big Green Egg is out there, and you learn a little something about the preparation of seafood. You learn about seafood. It's a great time. I mean, nobody knows more about seafood than Dirk.
So yeah, we're full of it for sure.
you can ask questions, and that's kind of what I wanted to do here today.
We
always jam the phone lines when you're on, of people asking questions about preparation of seafood or availability, and all that sort
of
thing.
I'll mention a few things coming up. We got wild salmon just starting now, soft shell crabs, so he'll be next week. You got the halibut, spring halibut there.
What's the difference between the? You're talking about the what'd you say? Wild salmon.
The wild king salmon is
wild king salmon. Yeah. Now, what's the difference between that and the many other kinds of salmon that we see in our grocer's case and the seafood sections and grocery stores at your store at Dirk's Fish? Explain the difference to me between all that.
Well, if we're talking fresh and frozen, you can get wild frozen salmon all year round. But in season, I'm pretty much a buyer of seasons. So this is when the fresh wild salmon starts. We get king salmon starts up first, and then by Memorial Day, we start seeing that copper ruby sockeye that everybody always raves about. Wild salmon is great. I mean, I love it for its flavor and things like that. It's not really recommended for sushi, so I'd rather do the Atlantic Faroes Island salmon for sushi, or we get an Ora King salmon out of New Zealand, which I contend is the best salmon in the world, even over wild stuff. So. Wild has its place. It tends to be leaner, a little stronger, so people maybe aren't familiar with it and are familiar with Atlantic tend to be put off by the stronger taste, possibly, but it's a good eating fish.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because it's wild and fresh caught. Are the flavors more intense? Is that what makes the difference? Because I got to say, I mean, the halibut that I bought from you the other day versus halibut that I've had at other places, the flavors were definitely, more, I don't want to say intense, because that's not exactly correct.
It was just fresher. We cut fish whole, and that makes a huge difference. Not many places do that anymore, so.
So
that's going to give you the freshest tasting fish.
Yeah. Well, that is the difference. Just walk me through this again real quick. We have the wild salmon, the wild fresh caught salmon.
King sockeye chum, that's kind of the summer thing, late spring, summer thing. And then year-round, we have our Faroes Island salmon, which is an Atlantic salmon out of the Faroes Islands, which is probably our top seller. We go through 100 pounds on Mondays. I call it Salmon Mondays, because everybody's done things that they shouldn't have been eating over the weekend, and they all want to make up for it on Monday. So everybody comes in and buys a pound of salmon on Monday to get better.
Yeah.
And then there's the Ora King salmon, which is out of New Zealand, which is, as I say, I think one of the best salmons in the world, if not the best. We occasionally get from them one that's called a Tai'i, so it's about a 30 to 40 pound farm-raised fish. You have to put yourself on a list, and you only get one or two a year. And we sell that for $80 a pound, and every time I get it, we sell it out.
Wow. It's
amazing. Yeah, amazing fish.
And what is that called again?
It's the Ora King salmon. It's the farm that grows it, but it's called Tai'i, which just means king in Indian.
Tai'i.
So,
yeah. And what I definitely notice if I'm sitting down to eat it, I would notice that I'm eating $80 a pound salmon.
Yeah, I bought it the first time. I was kind of amazed that people would buy it, but it's very thick, so a pound piece is not that big. It looks like a giant sea scallop, kind of sort of that shape, And it's just the lines of fat in it are just amazing. You just look at it and you just want to eat it raw, but it's fantastic cooked, and it's just so moist and succulent. It's unbelievable.
So
unfortunately, I can only get it once in a while. So
yeah. Now how do you get this amazing fresh seafood? If we were in the Pacific Northwest, I would understand it. If we were on an ocean somewhere, I would understand all this. How are you getting all this stuff so fresh?
Well, I've been doing
store?
It for a long time, probably about close to 50 years with my old days and burr hops and stuff like that. And the people that I buy from, I buy some stuff direct, other from local vendors, but they all know that I only expect the best, so they're not going to send me any junk or any second-rate stuff. So that's a big start there. And I look around. Now, people call me, so I'm always willing to try something new and different or a new supplier just for fun. My crab guy's going up to Alaska this year. Hopefully we'll get some Alaskan Dungeness crabs, which are awesome. So just try to find different sources than anybody else has.
Dirk Fusick from Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop, 2070 North Clybourne Avenue. with us. And I want to open up the phone lines, Dirk, for people to ask questions. Sure. About, you know, whatever seafood questions that you have, availability, about preparation, about, you know, you name it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And this is Dean Richards. Our Food Time Show is on the air, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. Dirk Busick with us, owner-operator of Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop, 2070 North Clyburn in Chicago, the seafood expert in Chicago. And Dirk, we're going to start off with John on our phone lines, 312-981-7200. John, you're on WGN.
Dean and Dirk, good afternoon to you. Dirk, we really love... We really love bringing your sushi rolls home. Do you have any intentions of bringing your sushi classes back on your schedule?
Yeah, June we'll start the classes again. We just kind of reorganized and expanded, so we're just trying to make the space and get organized for that. And yeah, so mid-June, you can sign up for my newsletter on our website, dirkswitch.com, or in the store, and we'll kind of keep you posted with a Friday newsletter. You know, soon.
That's so awesome.
I've always been
That's
so...
That's awesome. Great to hear.
I've been so intimidated about trying to make sushi myself at home. I don't feel like I have the right equipment. Like, what do you need, Dirk, to, if I'm going to make sushi at home, what are the kinds of things that I need?
Well, basically, you need nori, which is a seaweed paper. You need some good rice. And then ingredients are up to you. I mean, you can make it as simple as avocado, tuna, a little spicy mayo. It's really not hard to roll. You just roll it by hand and finish it off of the mat. You know what? You could come to class, Dean.
Very true.
We can show you how to do it.
But
there's no bad sushi. There's no bad sushi if you use good ingredients. It may look a little funny in the beginning, but you know it'll all eat good.
But you can't just use regular, like any kind of rice. Don't you have to have a certain kind of rice?
There's a shorter grained rice, right, that we use. You got to rinse it off well and then cook it. Then it's seasoned with sushi vinegar, which is actually salt, vinegar, sugar, so it's a little sweeter. And that kind of makes it a little bit sticky and adheres to the nori and the fish in your fingers, which we dip in water. So,
yeah.
But it's pretty easy to do, and it's something you can do at home, or I always recommend people, if they want to make sushi, just buy it from their local sushi place, or we sell it at our store.
Any time that I've been around anyone who made their own sushi, it was more like sushi cobbler. Like it falls apart everywhere. It's not rolled properly.
A little practice. That's it.
All right. Well, yeah. John, I'll see you over at the classes then. Maybe
exactly,
this is the year
exactly.
I take the class.
I can't wait.
All right.
I can't wait. Thanks, Dirk. Thanks, Dean.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks. We'll see you over there.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Hi, Nick. You're on WGN with Dirk Fusick.
Yeah, thank you. I've been to your store a few times. Just I get around by bus, so I found it by accident when I was going to another place on the other side of the street, further down a little bit to the east. It's a great place. I really loved it. I wish I had more money and more time. And more easily be able to get over there. I just loved it. Recently, somebody bought some shrimp that had no tail on it. And normally, I'm not a big shrimp fan because by itself, shrimp doesn't have much flavor. You got to like put in a sauce or bread it with some spices. But this stuff was had no tail. You know, you could eat the whole thing up. You know, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. I never knew such a thing existed. Are you familiar with that? Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Do you mean that it was a shrimp that? Where somebody took the tail off, or it was a shrimp that
little tail that's usually on there. Yeah. Like your shrimp there that you have behind the counter, those giant pieces of shrimp, which nobody else has seen anywhere has them like you do. But they still got the little tail on them, which is understandable. You hold on to it. It's easier actually to hold on to it.
Yeah, it's like a little handle,
off.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the story on that, Dirk?
Well, the first thing I tell you about shrimp is to buy Gulf of Mexico wild shrimp. There is no better shrimp. I mean, there's a lot of black tigers out there in the grocery stores, and they're just not for me. I mean, they just don't have flavor. They look nice, but that's the shrimp you taste that doesn't have any flavor to it. We have a lot of them without tails. You can do it either way, but our cooked shrimp that we sell on the counter every day is a tailless shrimp, but it's a Gulf of Mexico shrimp, and that's probably the most important thing. And you can buy them big, small, in the shell, out of the shell. They grill great. You can pan saute them. And there's nothing you can't do with a good shrimp. But Gulf of Mexico shrimp, the wild ones, that's really the best tip I can give you for that.
But there's not a shrimp which just naturally does not have a tail. If there's no tail, it's been taken off by
whoever
prepared it, right? And deveined and like
cleaned
that.
And ready to go.
Yeah.
Which we have on the counter ready to go. People can just come in and buy a pound of tailless, cleaned, ready to eat shrimp. For me, I don't like to sell tails necessarily so much because my contention is you're spending $40 a pound for shrimp, and then you've got a tail piece there that you pick up, and if you're at a party, you know, it's kind of like, what do I do with it afterwards, sort of, kind of. That's just one extra thing you don't need, I don't think.
Does it add to the flavor? I mean, I always think of it as, you know, if you had a steak with bone in it, it's more flavorful. I always thought that if the shell and the tail were still there, that you'd be getting more flavor when you prepare it. Is that not true?
You're correct on that, except if you just have a tail, is really not much enhancing of the flavor. So then the shell one, I agree with you. Just put the shell, take the vein out, cook it in the shell. You know, it's a little more work to peel it, but I do think you get some flavor off the shell. But a peeled shrimp with just the tail on, it's not going to add any flavor to it, and you're just spending your $40 on a piece of shrimp that you're going to throw away.
Yeah,
so I'd rather get a tailless.
May as well. It really is super convenient if you're, you know, whatever, at a party or something. You've got all these tails. It's like, what am I supposed to do with all of these now? They're all over the place.
Well, also, sometimes people want giant shrimp for cocktail parties, and I always try to talk them down to a smaller size, just because, you know, if you got like a U10 shrimp and it's, you know, 3 inches long, you dip that once in cocktail sauce, take you a bite, you're eating half of it. What do you do with the other half? You can't really double dip, right?
Double dip. So, no, you got to.
You better get a bite-sized shrimp, you know, or a mouthful-sized shrimp.
Yeah, well, the savvy shrimp eater will take some cocktail sauce and put it on their own plate so they can double dip like crazy.
That's right. Have you ever had St. Elmo's cocktail sauce?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, it comes from St. Elmo's in Indianapolis. We carry it at the store. It will make you cry. Turn your face pink, make you cry. But it's really good.
Because it's super hot, you mean?
Super horseradishy, yeah.
Super horseradishy.
It's awesome, yeah. We do the St. Elmo's dance. We line up about 6 or 8 people. We give them a shrimp dip in that. We tell them all, okay, 1, 2, 3. Everybody bite it at the same time.
And
then you watch them all jump around. It's hilarious.
It's that hot, really?
Oh, it's that hot. It's that hot, yeah. But it goes away. You know, horseradish hits are not like pepper that linger with you. This just gets you, makes you cry a little bit and goes through your nose, and then it's gone. And then you're ready for another one.
Opens up your sinuses a little bit.
It does that.
I understand. On our text line, 312-981-7200, I've avoided seafood because of the fear of mercury poisoning. Is that still an issue? That's true. You know,
it is.
Haven't heard that in a long time.
Right. Well, it really and truly is it's in fish, and it's in a lot of fish naturally because there's natural mercury events in the ocean volcanically and things like that. There's always a touch of mercury. But the amount of fish you'd have to eat to have a reaction to that would be huge. It's like the teeniest little bit of the fin on the back fin would be where the mercury content would be, you know, that much in quantity to the body weight. So unless you have a specific issue against that, which, you know, maybe some people that do, again, you can't really eat enough fish that's going to make you that sick. I mean, you have to eat it every day, you know, all the time. Pregnant women shouldn't eat swordfish, tilefish, shark, and king mackerel because those are higher in mercury than some other fish. So those are suggested by the FDA not to eat with pregnant or breastfeeding women. But that's really the only restriction on fish like that.
Okay. 312-981-7200. And from the 217 area code, I'm looking for large lobster tails. I can only find small ones. Are those seasonal, or how does that work?
Well, large lobster tails are a small percentage of the population, right? So right now, China is buying a lot of fish. Australia sends most of their seafood to China right now these days because it's much closer, less freight involved, and they're taking whatever they can get. And a lot of large tails do come from Australia. So we can get you large tails, but you're going to be paying $125 a pound for tails.
What?
Yeah, because there's not that many of them. I mean, there's a lot more, obviously, smaller tails than there are bigger tails. And a big tail is okay, but I still contend to eat, you know, if you wanted a pound tail, eat 2 8-ounce tails. They're a little tenderer than the big one. And people have a tendency to overcook big tails, I think, too.
Yeah. I always said that, too, that I think a little sweeter also. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yep, you're right. Yep.
What do we have here? 815 area code. I rarely eat fish because the smell makes me ill. What would be a good fish to have? And how do you cook it for the first-time fish eater? Well, first of all, if a fish is smelling bad enough that it makes you ill, you probably have some rotten fish there, right? I mean, fish
should be shopping at someplace else, right?
Yeah, I mean, a fish that smells fishy is not a fresh fish.
Correct. People come in on our store, they come into the store and they go, doesn't smell like fish. And I go, well, it shouldn't smell like fish. Good fish shouldn't smell. You should clean up after yourself and not leave a mess, you know. So I'm sure you've been to many places that, you know, you walk in and you know it's a fish store because it smells.
Right.
But good fresh fish, it shouldn't have an odor to it. It should actually have like a cucumbery odor to it even, you know, and like that piece of halibut you got. I mean, you smell that and you can't smell almost anything.
Right. So what would be a good fish for a first-time fish eater?
Salmon dimension is very popular. If you like something light and mild, the halibut you got would be a good one. Snapper, grouper, one of my favorites. All those can be grilled, you know, with the marinade and tossed on the grill. You can bake them all for a beginner.
What's a nice mild fish, you know, so we don't scare. I mean, salmon can be, you know, have a distinct flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's a really nice, mild, easy to prepare fish for somebody?
How about walleye? You like walleye?
I've enjoyed walleye, yeah.
Yeah, walleye is the fish that I would get for somebody that says, I hate fish. And I go, let me cook you a piece of walleye, make your fish sandwich out of that, and you'll be hooked on fish forever after that. It's such a mild, light fish. I pan saute it generally with a little flour just to give it some color and put it on a sandwich or just eat it like a fish stick, and they're fantastic.
So what are you, you're sauteing it, you said?
Yeah, the walleye I like to pan saute is a delicate fish. I grilled a little yesterday just for experimenting and practicing on things, and it came out okay, but it flakes off the grill pretty much, and it doesn't look nice when you put it on your plate. Tastes good, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But that halibut is a prime one because, again, you can do anything with halibut, from ceviche to grilling to poaching, and it's super mild, as you know, and that's a good fish for starters for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, another texter says, I don't prepare fish because it's too delicate and it breaks all over the place. What kind of fish should I get to avoid that?
Well, be gentle with it, number one. You don't have to, and don't mess around with it a lot. Like a piece of fish on the grill, I do flesh side first for a couple minutes just to get a little sear on it. I flip it over the skin side, finish it off on the skin side, probably for twice as long, maybe, you know, 6-8 minutes. And that way the skin's going to stick to the grill. You can slide the meat right off the skin with a spatula. If you try to flip things more than once or twice, then it's going to start falling apart on you. And that's the problem with that. So you really kind of got to set it down, let it cook on its side, flip it over to the other side, and call it a day.
All right. We'll get to some more calls for Dirk Fusick, Dirk's Fish and Gourmet, 312-981-7200. After this, all things seafood, Dirk Fusick, Dirk's Fish and Gourmet. On the line with us here, we've got a bunch of recipe requests, Dirk. Someone asking for what's a good way to cook scallops?
Good scallops, number one, buy a dry pack scallop. So if you see them sitting in liquid in the pan someplace and it's not a scallop, to buy those are hard to sear. But a seared scallop with a little olive oil, salt, pepper, maybe a little lemon zest, just pan sear them at a high heat, touch of oil, and that should go about 3 minutes aside and they'll come out outstanding. Or the grill works the same way.
630 area code, what are the best types of seafood for grilling?
All of it. So,
really? Like a tilapia on the grill? Really?
Tilapia works on the grill. It goes back to that not messing around. You do it each side, you flip it once, and that's all you get. So,
Or like a delicate fish, like a cod or something like that? I would never...
A little delicate, but you can certainly do it on the grill. A cedar plank works good for a lot of delicate fish. I did some skate this weekend with some ginger garlic marinade on, and you know you roll them up like you would roll a piece of sole up, and you line those little rolls up on the plank, and it came out phenomenal. You'll get a little smoky flavor, and that worked out well for a delicate fish. But things like salmon, again, halibut, grouper, snapper, striped bass, those are all excellent fish.
Swordfish, yeah, those are sturdy.
Swordfish is a really easy one for people because that's about as close to a steak as you can get. You know, it's very firm, and you can mess around with it and not do it, you know, not have it break apart on you.
Yeah, exactly. This is Donna. You're on with Dirk Fusick on WGN. Hello. Hi, Donna.
Hello. Yeah, hi, thank you. First of all, Dean, I really appreciate all your recipes. I'm half Italian, so I look forward to them.
Thank you.
Plus all your reviews. I do radio and television, so thank you.
Great.
Also, I wanted to ask your guest, the restaurant that's no longer open in Northwest Indiana served me some oysters. And I live in the Midwest, but my family's from the East Coast, and I ate them in August and got deathly sick. Is there some kind of rule somebody's been telling me that after, like, 4th of July, you don't eat shellfish? Can you tell me if that's true or not?
That's a new one.
And thank you for the show.
Yeah, thank you for the question.
Well, they do say not to eat oysters in a month without an R. So that would be May, June, July, August. But that is an old wives' tale in my book, honestly. When they used to import oysters to San Francisco from New York back in the old days before they, you know, on the railroads and things like that, they would take a long time to get there. So by the time they were rolled, they were not so good and people would get sick from them. And those are the hottest months of the summer for that type of transportation. Mm-hmm. These days with airplanes and refrigeration, pretty much you can get an oyster all year round from someplace good. A bad oyster is, you know, it's possible. We don't do Gulf oysters because they tend to have a higher bacteria count, and that's always an issue. But generally speaking, a Northwest Pacific or a East Coast Canada are the best oysters there are. And you should be able to open an oyster or have someone open it for you. It should be clear and look good and smell like the ocean. If it's anything beyond that, then I, you know, probably would pop it in my mouth.
Dirk's Fish is 2070 North Clybourne. Want more information, take a look at dirksfish.com. Dirk Fusick, have a great Sunday, Dirk, and thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Dean. You have a great day to yourself.